This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. Today, we're going to get the inside scoop on what's really happening in the Middle East and ask some questions of my guest about Afghanistan. You know, you really have to understand the mindset of the Muslim to understand what's going on. And I'm talking to a man who was born in Morocco, who converted to Christianity, who understands this. So stay tuned for my interview with Brother Rashid from Morocco after this.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back. And Brother Rashid, I'm so glad to talk to you in the studio. When you visited my office, I knew I wanted to talk to you and do a podcast because the things we were just saying in conversation were just so interesting. And first of all, we call you Brother Rashid, not a last name, because it's a little bit dangerous what you do. But your father was an imam, and that's like a pastor, I guess. He was over a mosque. So first of all, let me ask you, how, from that background, did you come to faith in Christ, and how are you now in the United States? I want my listeners to sort of understand who you are before we talk about what's going on in Afghanistan.
Well, thank you, Stephen, for having me, and thank you for allowing me to share this wonderful journey that the Lord brought me in. I was a teenager when I heard the first time about the Lord in a radio station. I was tuning at night, and then I heard something about Christ, and I stayed until the end of the program, and that led me to a 4 years of correspondence courses back and forth with TWR. And then after the 4 years, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and I had some problems with my family. I was homeless for 2 years, and then I joined the underground church for 15 years. And then after that, the Secret Services found out about me, and I had to leave the country with my wife, and that's how I started my life again outside of Morocco.
Wow. It's hard for us as Americans to understand that because we take our freedoms for granted, but, you know, it's not really safe. And now you have a ministry, you minister around the world. And that's not really the focus of the podcast. I probably ought to do one later, just a little bit more about your odyssey. But as we were talking and you were telling me about what's happening in Afghanistan, which we don't really get that much news, and what we do is probably some kind of propaganda from the administration. So tell me, from your point of view, as a former Muslim, now a believer in Jesus, now living in the United States, what's happening in Afghanistan, and why did our troops leave so suddenly?
Yes, we have to understand the Middle East through Islam and through religion. It's not like the West. Religion is in every part, in every detail in our lives. Politicians and Western countries are trying to separate. They talk about military operations, they talk about aid, they talk about other stuff, but trying to stay politically correct towards Islam so nobody will tell them that you are Islamophobe or anything like that. But in reality is far away from what they are saying. So, for example, the U.S. invested a lot of money so many years trying to fight terrorism there, and they ended up leaving in a terrible way that shocked everybody. But I, as a former Muslim, I saw it coming because the Taliban are so rooted in Islam and they are defending their ideology, they are defending their beliefs, and there is nothing that will convince them to leave that faith. No matter what you do, no matter how much money you invest there, even trying to make an army for the national let's call it the country that the U.S. tried to make that will be like a Western model, a Western example, that will collapse because even the people who are there, They don't believe in it. They are just doing it for the money. So as soon as money leaves, they are back. They are back to their guys. So imagine you are comparing one who's fighting for a cause that he's willing to die for it with another person who is fighting just for the money. So when moment of truth came, the guys who are fighting for the money left. And the guys who are fighting for a cause stayed and won.
Well, let me see if I understand this. As a journalist, of course, I watch the news. We've published several books having to do with Islam over the years. But it seems to me that the Taliban is almost Stone Age in their attitudes about women and a lot of things. I mean, they are the radical of the radicals in Islam. I mean, they're not like the friendly Muslims that live down the street who are somewhat westernized and, you know, with the burqas and everything else. And then in this terrorism fomented, 9/11 happened. The United States felt that we had to retaliate, and we did. And then we tried to kind of, with arms and money and everything else, we tried to bring Afghanistan kicking and screaming into the West, should I say, or the modern world. And now all that's collapsed. And someone told me that they were even having training courses on gender things and so forth. I mean, my understanding of Islam is that they're not into all that gender stuff and transgenderism and some of the liberal wokeness that we shake our heads at, but it unfortunately is part of American life now. So am I wrong? I realize that in a short podcast, it's hard to really do a deep dive, but help me and my listeners understand what's going on from your point of view.
Well, let me talk about Taliban. You described them as coming from Stone Age, but in reality, you are right, because they are trying to implement a Sharia from the 7th century, and they are bringing it to the 20th century. So, of course, it's going to look awkward. It's going to look primitive and shocking to the modern world. But that's Islam. And our friends, I have so many Muslims who are my friends and from my family, they are not like that. And sometimes you wonder why. And we call them extremists. We call them all kind of stuff. But in reality, they are the true representatives of Islam, because they represent the Sharia role without any makeup, without any changes. My cousins who are studying in the West, studying in Europe, or my friends, they are not like that, because they are cherry-picking from Islam. They just choose some aspects and they ignore the rest. Because if they apply the rest, they will be like Taliban. So it's like Christians. Some Christians, they don't take the whole Bible seriously. Some of them, they just go sometimes to church on occasions. They pick some things, they don't follow it, they don't give their tithe, for example, to the church, or to the Lord, they don't follow everything. So we have that in the Muslim world as well. Muslims by name, and they are not following every letter in the Quran. We call them moderates, we call them open-minded Muslims. Taliban, they follow the letter. Every letter in the Quran and the Sharia. So when Americans are trying to teach a society like that, for example, in Afghanistan, 90% voted for Sharia law in some statistics done by Pew Research Center. So if you go, 90% of people are trying to implement Sharia, and you go to them and say, well, we will teach you liberal values, you are just pouring water in the sand. Obviously, that didn't work, because people will not accept it. It's not accepted in society. Islam is far away from all that. It contradicts every thing that liberals believe in. But they want to include Islam into that package, which I call it a soup of contradicting values.
Interesting way to put it. Why did we fight over there for almost 20 years, and then just suddenly, almost overnight, leave, including billions of dollars of very sophisticated military equipment?
Personally, I believe that the U.S. had the right to go in to destroy al-Qaeda and Islamic terrorists and not give them a safe haven where they can operate against the U.S., but the rest was wrong. Nation building, there is no such a thing in the Muslim world. You cannot build a nation there. You have to understand the values. You have to understand the culture. So you cannot build a nation, even if you pour money, if you send military, if you do anything, because ideas have to change first. And we didn't do that. So you cannot change Afghanistan unless their worldview changes. And probably the three first years were right. The rest was wrong.
Wow. We need to send this podcast up to Washington, don't we? Of course, it's too late now. And then, so we invested all this time and money and lives. The death rate was nothing approaching the Vietnam War. But, I mean, really, in my opinion, one death is one too many, in a manner of speaking. But why didn't we have something to show for all that 20 years when we left? It just seemed like it was overnight. Was I not paying any attention? Was it more gradual? Or what actually was the trigger, I guess? Maybe that's the real question. What actually caused that to all of a sudden change?
Well, pulling out, it was going to happen at a certain time. Somebody was going to make that decision. The way it was done was very bad execution. No doubt about it. Why the decision was made at that moment, I think it was political. They want to sell that we pulled the troops from Afghanistan. But again, why we didn't succeed pouring that money there and investing lives and investing all equipment and stuff like that? Because there was no clear vision. What's a nation building? What is that? How do we measure success on that level? Hospitals were built, schools were built, everything. But when they left, everything collapsed. There's nothing now. There's nothing.
So there's no hospitals, no schools?
There are hospitals. How are you going to run them? There is no money. There's no the people who can work there, they are leaving. The educated people who have skills and who are pro-Western and they believe in science, they believe all kind of stuff that the West invested there, they are leaving because they don't accept Taliban. So what are you going to do now? If teachers are leaving, if journalists are leaving, if doctors are leaving, who's going to run that country? You're not going to expect Taliban to run a country with the Quran. The Quran will not solve anything, will not solve the economy issues, will not solve employment, they will not solve all the problems they are facing. Probably they will make the country more pre-9/11 now. It goes back to pre-9/11 than Afghanistan that we left.
So where do you think this is going to end up?
It's going to end up, it's pretty bad. I don't see Afghanistan changing unless we engage in a real worldview change. Afghanistan is going to go back to internal war between the groups there, between Taliban and ISIS, between ethnic groups, because we know the Pashtun, the Hazar, the all the groups there, they are going to start interfighting there, and it's going to go back to the 90s. That's how it was when the Russians left.
Wow. What do you think should happen, and how should, since most of my listeners are probably believing Christians, how should people pray?
We should pray for peace, and we pray also for people to have hearts for Muslims so they can reach them with the changing message of the gospel. There is nothing that will change human beings except a heart change. And that's what happened to me. I could have ended up in ISIS or any terrorist group if Christ didn't change me. There are many fighters from Morocco joined, actually, some terrorist groups, al-Qaeda and ISIS. And they are my age. When I look at them, they are my age. And every time I see them and I say, Lord, I just want to thank you because you really saved my life on every aspect. So I think we have a powerful message. We have a powerful gospel that can change lives, change Saul to Paul, and I'm sure it can change every terrorist in the Middle East to a loving, peaceful man.
Boy, that is so powerful. Before we wrap up, Brother Rashid, how could people contact you or find out more about your ministry? I realize that there's some anonymous parts of what you do, but surely people can contact your ministry, find out more. Some people may want to contribute to your ministry.
I have a website called brotherrashid.com, and easily if you Google, if you Google me on Google, you'll find me. So thank you so much for allowing me to be here, and thank you for everybody who's listening.
And so if they go there, they could either write you a little email if they had a question.
Yes.
They can find out about your ministry. There's probably a place to donate if they want to.
That's
so
true.
I'll encourage you to follow up. I believe this is a ministry that you need to support. And I thank you again for being on my podcast, and to my listeners, to share this with others. This is a message that we need to get out. It's a message of hope. So tune in again tomorrow for another episode of The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, that's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.